Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. We believe that knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important decision anyone can make. And our mission is to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us today as Pastor Scott shares today's sermon, bringing a message of hope, restoration, and new life through Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally and experience the freedom and true salvation that's found in Him. You can learn more about our church ministries by visiting us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org. God is good. Jesus saves, and lives are changed when we surrender our lives to Him. Amen.
The entire chapter of John chapter 9 is about Jesus' interaction with a blind man and the Pharisees, of course. And we want to look at this story as one story, 41 verses long. It's a long chapter again, but we're not going to read every single word of that chapter. We're going to look at it in a way that gives us the basic picture of what happened in this chapter. John the Apostle, who wrote the Gospel of John, had one intention in writing the Gospel of John, and that is to declare the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and share that truth with the world. He didn't write the gospel just for the Jews. He wrote the gospel for everyone, Jews and Gentiles alike, that would hear the truth, see the truth, and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. That's the intention of what John's gospel is all about. And that's our intention as well. When the Lord returns, and those of us that know Him as Lord and Savior go to glory to be with Him. And people who have heard the truth and understand in their mind about the reality of what the truth might be and don't actually make the decision to ask Jesus Christ into their life, that will be a sad day, because we all have to make that choice. We all have to make that decision. We all have to come to know Him as Lord and Savior. So as we look at John chapter 9, I'm going to read the first little bit of the chapter. As He, that's Jesus, was passing by, He saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned Him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After he said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and spread the mud on his eyes, the blind man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, "Isn't this the man who sat begging?" Some said, "He's the one." Others were saying, "But he looks like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." Therefore, they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, told me to go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed, and I received my sight." "Where is he?" they asked. "I don't know," he said. So the first part of this passage is about the man called Jesus. The story is about a blind man who was blind from birth. And we see this in this story, and it's mentioned by the disciples themselves. So it was a common idea that when people were born with an infirmity, like blindness in this case, that it was because of sin, either in his parents' life or his life, even though he wasn't born yet. It was a total misconception, a total misunderstanding, but it was a common idea in Judaism, and it comes up in this passage again later when the Pharisees say, "We know you were born in sin." So the idea was that sin was inherent within the culture, but a total misunderstanding of what it is and what it was. The interesting thing in this first part of this passage to me is that Jesus answered, "This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him." In the Jewish culture in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus, lots of people had physical infirmities. Lameness, blindness, different physical ailments, those who had never walked, those who were crippled, lots of different circumstances in life. But Jesus did not heal every single person. He didn't heal everyone in the culture. He chose to heal this particular man because of this very statement that we read in John chapter 9. "This came about so that God's works might be displayed in him." Sometimes we think, and I'm guilty of the same thing, we think that the physical issues we deal with, the physical difficulty we have, the pain that we experience, is because somehow God dislikes us. Somehow God wants to punish us. And our difficulty, our pain, our circumstances are a way for God to cause us to suffer. But that's not the case at all. Isaiah 48, verse 10 tells us that he refines us not as silver, but through the testing of our faith, really, in the furnace of affliction. Because it's his desire for us to grow, to be changed, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That is truthfully what God's desire for us is, that we be changed to be more like Jesus. And I know it's hard for us. I know it's hard for us because physical difficulty, constantly dealing with issues, pain, and so forth in our body, really wears on us. And when it really wears on us, it causes us to be discouraged and sometimes not only discouraged, but have the wrong impression, the wrong idea of what God is doing in our life. Why this? I know God can heal. I know God can heal completely. I know God can preserve our life. He can cause us to be completely whole at any moment that he desires to do that. But he uses difficulty in our life to transform us, to conform us to the image of his Son. Important and very difficult. The other part about this passage in the first part is the man called Jesus, that Jesus was literally able, because of who he is, to cause a man born blind to see. It had never happened before. It was something completely new and different. And people ask the literal question, and it's probably a legitimate question, is this someone who was born blind or someone who looks like him, who now sees? Because it had never happened before. The interesting thing about this is, too, is that Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. I've asked myself this question a couple of times as I read different scripture. He could have healed the man on Sunday. Sabbath day was on Saturday. He could have healed him on Sunday. He could have healed him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He was in the vicinity of the temple often. Any point that he wanted to heal this man, he could have done it, to restore something that's physically impossible to happen. But he did it on the Sabbath day for one reason and one reason only: to challenge the Pharisees' idea of the faith that they had versus the truth that he had to share with them. We don't think of that sometimes. Why did he do it on the Sabbath day? He did it because he wanted to challenge those people who claimed to be God's servants, that he said in chapter 8, when we were finishing chapter 8 last week, those people who claimed to be God's servants, but he said, your father is the devil, and you desire to do your father's work. Jesus wanted them to recognize what they were doing and who they were, knowing full well that they may not actually be able to come to know him because of their own hard hearts. We have to always remember, God is love. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin. Did he hate the Pharisees? I don't believe so. I believe that he hated the sin, but he loved the people. And some of them believed over time. That's always his intention. His intention is always that people come to know him as Lord and Savior. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. Judgment will come one day, but we're in the age of grace. We live in the age of grace. It's called the church age at sometimes, but it is the time in the season of human history that is prepared for us to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior and to glorify him and to honor him in what we say and do and how we are, and to reach the rest of the world for Christ. It's his desire, it's his will for us, and he did this because he wants to bring everyone who will believe in him to heaven with him. It's his desire and it's his message to us. So in verse 13, the man who used to be blind was taken to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made mud and opened his eyes was the Sabbath day, which we talked about. So after the Pharisees asked him how he received his sight, he put mud on my eyes, he told them, I washed and now I can see. The Pharisees said in verse 16, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. But others were saying, how can a sinful man perform such signs? And there was a division among them. The Pharisees were so intent on keeping the Sabbath, their desire was to keep the law, because they believed that in keeping the law, they were actually in a good relationship with God. And what Jesus said in John chapter 8, at the end of the chapter, you are of your father the devil. So Jesus knew exactly what their motives were for what they did and why they did it. Their desire was to see themselves glorified, not to see Christ glorified. Interesting, this story. It's really a good story, and I'm sorry we can't go through every single verse through this chapter because we don't have enough time to do that. But at the same time, the man born blind said, when they asked him about Jesus, who is he? He said, he is the prophet. He knew, even though he was blind from birth, he knew the stories. He knew the truth of Scripture. He knew and understood Scripture. And he knew that a prophet could perform a miracle and healing. He didn't know exactly who Jesus was at the time, but he knew that it was possible. And then he challenged the Pharisees and he said, how can someone who is in sin perform this miracle? He knew it wasn't possible, but the Pharisees tried to protect their own situation and their own standing. So they said, let's get his parents here. So his parents came in verse 20, 2, his parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews have already agreed that if anyone confesses him as Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. So they said, yes, this is our son. This is truly our son, the one who was born blind. But they wouldn't say how he was made to see, because they didn't want to be banned from the synagogue. So the leaders used their authority to control the people, because the synagogue was the main meeting place that the Jewish people had. And they wanted to be able to continue to go to the synagogue. This is good. Why do you ask us? He's of age. Ask him to protect themselves. It's understandable what happened. But they asked him again, the blind man again, we know that this man is a sinner, speaking of Jesus. And he answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, and keep this clearly in mind, one thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. I was blind and now I see. In some ways, we're all blind to the truth. So in some ways, we're all blind, or we were definitely all blind before we came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We were blind in our sin. Jesus makes that comment again in the end of chapter 8. We were lost, we were blind because we didn't know the truth. Coming to the truth of who Jesus is opened our eyes and opened our hearts. And the Spirit came in and quickened our hearts so that we could understand the truth about what God is doing in our lives and in the lives of other people. And that's his absolute desire for everybody, that they come to know him as Lord and Savior. The blind man said, he said, I told you, and you didn't listen, in verse 27. And you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples? They ridiculed him. You're that man's disciples. We are Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he comes from. This is an amazing thing, the man told them. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. You know that God doesn't listen to sinners. If anyone is God-fearing and doing his will, he listens to him. So, the blind man recognized exactly the source of where Jesus came from. He referred to him as a man of God, someone that had authority because of their relationship with God. Even though he didn't know Jesus personally, he had never seen Jesus, he experienced the touch of Christ in his life. He experienced the healing power of Jesus in his life. And he knew who Jesus was, at least at this stage, as a man of God. It was important for us to recognize that the progression here was Jesus touched him, Jesus made mud and healed him. The man followed through and did what Christ wanted him to do, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He did the same thing in the Old Testament, sent a man to be healed by taking a bath in the river and having his leprosy taken away from him. The blind man knew that Jesus was a man of God. First he called him a prophet, then he called him a man of God. The next thing we see, though, is that the blind man then gave the experts a lesson in practical theology. Perhaps he had Psalm 66:18 in mind. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The leaders called Jesus a sinner, yet Jesus was used of God to open the blind man's eyes. So they were contradicting what they already knew to be true. They knew the scripture, and yet they called Christ a sinner because they did not want to recognize who Jesus really is. And keep that clearly in our mind. The Pharisees did not want to recognize who Jesus really is. And that's the whole conflict between the Pharisees and Christ all the way through his ministry, because they were protecting their own circumstances, their own relationship with the Roman Empire, and their own position as leaders in Judaism. And then we see in the last point, Jesus is the Son of God. So the blind man then was thrown out of the temple area, and he was basically excommunicated because of his belief that Jesus was a man of God. They ridiculed him and they sent him out. You can't be part of us anymore. When Jesus heard this in verse 35, that he'd been thrown out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, in order that those who do not see will see, and those who will not see will be blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard of these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus answered, "you wouldn't have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The point of this that I want to make is that the man born blind recognized Christ when he said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." It's exciting to me to think that Jesus was able to say to the blind man, "You have seen him. I'm looking right at you. I'm looking at you face to face, and you can see who I am. Before, you heard my voice, but now you know who I am. You have seen me." And then the blind beggar's response was, "I believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Now we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and we know that if Jesus was not the Son of God, he would not have accepted the worship of the blind man. Paul, Peter, they did not accept worship because they were not deity. Jesus accepted worship because of that's exactly who he is. He is God in the flesh. He is God, the Creator. According to Philippians and Colossians, Paul makes it very clear. John makes it very clear in the first chapter of John as well. He is the Creator God. We talked about this a little bit last week, but it's exciting to me to see that Jesus took this man from the point of being a blind man and a beggar to the place of recognizing him as a prophet, to recognizing him later as a man of God, and then later, yet at before the end of this chapter, to recognize him as the Son of God. It's incredibly important for us to recognize this, because there's a progression here to go from being completely blind to the place of having complete faith restored and complete relationship restored and giving the opportunity to believe in him and worship. Jesus touches lives. He touches lives in such a way that he takes us from our brokenness, living and walking in darkness, to walking in the light and recognizing who Jesus is and what he does and how he touches lives. We have such a great opportunity to share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ with people in a very conversational way. We should be the messengers that are offering people the truth, offering them to know the Christ that we know.
Today, as we close, John 9 leaves us with an important question. Do we truly see Jesus for who he is? The blind man knew he was helpless, and when Christ opened his eyes, he responded with faith and worship. The Pharisees, on the other hand, believed they could see just fine, and their pride kept them blind to the truth standing right in front of them. The same challenge remains today. We must not trust in our own goodness, our knowledge, or our religious efforts. Our only hope is Christ. He is the light of the world, and only he can open blind eyes and bring sinners from darkness into his marvelous light. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ. For there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations. For we aim to ensure that more people have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.